I recently reread my favorite book. It's only 75 pages long, and about half of that is illustrations. So it's one you can reread. It's called The Little Prince. It is the story of a person who lives here on Earth and encounters this little prince who comes from another world, from a very small world. And so the person from Earth is trying to explain to the little prince why you can't constantly see sunsets here on this bigger planet. He says, the whole world knows that when it's noon in the United States, the sun is setting over France. If you could go to France in a minute, you would be able to watch the setting sun. Unfortunately, France is too far away, but on your tiny planet, it is enough to move your chair a few steps, and from there you can look at the sunset as many times as you wish. Every human being, whether we realize it or not, every human being lives on the very small planet of self. Some take it as an opportunity to acknowledge the greatness of God, to see more sunrises and sunsets. Some mistake it as a small world to rule over. Today's gospel gives accounts of how two different persons perceive their little planets. The tax collector in the gospel story recognized what the little prince did, the beauty of living on a small planet. Living in a small world allowed him, at least theoretically, to see God's greatness and justice and mercy. The little prince saw the advantage of living on his small planet. He knew that his access to beauty and poignant experience came from dwelling on that small planet. He had sunsets at every moment. It makes me think, what are the sunsets made possible for us by humility and acknowledgement of God's sovereignty? Sometimes we may not think of them as gifts, but other human beings are gifts to us in the ways that they help us and nurture us and entertain us. The wider creation is very much a gift from an immense God. The grace of God, the imagination and creativity of humans, the intricacy of created beings, and the inventions of those created beings. Move your chair just a few feet, and you see another breathtaking example of the power of God. But you can only do it if you live with humility. This story seems to be kind of a good guy, bad guy kind of story. The prayers of these two men in the temple tell us obviously what they think of themselves, but we also hear in their prayers what they think about God and other people. The Pharisees saw God, as one commentator says, as a corporation in which he had earned a considerable block of stock. The tax collector, on the other hand, saw God as immense, holy, and unapproachable. And what we think of our neighbors will also originate in what we think about God. The Pharisee despised other people. He thanked God that he was not like the rabble, like the tax collector there beside him. And then the tax collector was there, and he feared being with others because he didn't feel worthy to be with them. The Pharisee may sound humble in a way because he thanked God, But actually, his thoughts were completely on himself. He was an arrogant man who could not see, or at least could not admit, his dependence on God. So he could not see the gifts given to him by God. He thought he had earned whatever he had been given. He didn't know he lived on a small planet. So he was never able to see the gift of humility and the views available in a world which revolves around God instead of self. The Pharisee felt like he should be the center of his world. But any human being who needs to be at the center of the universe dies slowly in the spiritual sense. Because as we age, we encounter more and more challenges we cannot solve using our own devices. Our status as ruler of our small planet, totally self-sufficient and, at least we think, admirable, shrinks and disappears. We think too much of ourselves. As Ben Franklin once said, a man wrapped up in himself makes a very small bundle. There is a holier way of saying it, and it's in our gospel. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. No offense, but I prefer Franklin's. It's a little more accessible, a little less intimidating. In this story, we have this tax collector. Now, he is an unlikely hero of the story, given the status of tax collectors in those times. When we hear about the denigration of tax collectors in Scripture, we think IRS. And we think, oh, I don't want to be anywhere near the IRS. But this is not about an organization, about a government, about something structured that is unpleasant. The tax collectors in those times were seen as collaborators with the hated Romans. They were seen as mean, unfair, and dishonest. And yet this tax collector humbled himself and acknowledged the power of God. In a similar way, the Pharisee, for those times, would have been kind of an unlikely villain. We have come, in the Christian tradition, we have come to equate the word Pharisee with someone who is hypocritical and self-righteous. But that is not the original meaning of the label. In that time, a Pharisee was a person who advocated liberal interpretation of Scripture, and the aim of Pharisaic law was to make the observance of Torah available to all. In the ideal, the Pharisees were trying to make religion, faith, and the stories accessible to all persons. In this case, the essence of this Pharisee was self-centeredness and arrogance. He is the villain in this story, or the one who doesn't get it, not because of the label Pharisee, but because of his lack of humility as a person. The tax collector, his central focus was God. A human being, any human being who lives with humility, who acknowledges God, has opportunities constantly to be grateful. Not, thank you, God, I'm not like them, but seeing God's grace for oneself and then passing the knowledge of that grace on to other people through generosity, material and spiritual. Being forgiven and included by God we are more likely to forgive and include other people, even the tax collectors. Both of these people fall far short of living up to the gift of God's grace. The difference is that the Pharisee doesn't accurately see his standing with God. He believes he is the one who gets it. Those less wise, unfortunate people, like the tax collector beside him, if he were a Southerner, he would say, "Bless their hearts." Our instinct in many of these stories of Scripture is to ask, which person am I? Am I the proud Pharisee or am I the humble tax collector? But as always, this story is not an either or. It is a description of how we have to live in balance. We cannot trust in our ability to earn our way. And yet, we try to honor what God asks of us. We humble ourselves before a merciful God, and then we live with confidence in the promise of forgiveness. Whichever role we play on any given day, every human being is welcome in God's temple, Pharisee or tax collector. So the question, it's up to me, really, to every person. Do I want to live where the only beauty available is whatever I myself can generate? Or do I want to live in a place where miracles wait every time I turn or move my chair a few steps? Am I willing to live with humility, bravely and sometimes painfully becoming the person I'm meant to be? Am I willing to be part of God's world rather than the center of mine? Will I at least agree that I am a very small planet? If I have that courage and the humility to admit my dependence on God, there is a great advantage to living on this small planet of me. I can see the beauty of sunset, of God and all of God's creation, simply by moving my chair a few feet. Sunsets and all the other gifts of our immense God await us in every moment. It is a wonderful gift to live on a small planet.